The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. Hi, I'm Gordon. Cheers for downloading the podcast. On this week's episode, we've got Blondie. What do you reckon, Vin?
Oh, I love that.
Good. Freddie from the Vaccines?
Yeah, you said Milan. He was a bit posh.
Posh. I'll look at Daft Punk's debut album, Homework.
Fantastic.
Enjoy that epic French techno. And Gallagher chat.
Again. Every week.
Every week. Once again. And there's plenty more, so enjoy the podcast.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X. X.
This is the Evening Show on Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. I hope you're having a great night. That was Athlete and Wires, and I'm incredibly excited to tell you that Debbie Harry from Blondie is with us live from New York. How are you doing, Debbie?
I'm very well, Gordon. How are you?
I'm superb. Can you set the scene for me and tell me exactly where you are, what you're looking at, and what you're doing right now?
I'm just looking out the window at a big snowstorm, and everything is all covered in white, and it's quite beautiful. It's still coming down, and... I love a good storm. I love stormy weather.
I really admire that, Debbie, that you haven't decided to disappear to some romantic, warm, glorious, golden beach somewhere. You still live in New York and you still love it.
You know, home is home, right? I mean, nothing is perfect and none of us are perfect, so I can live with that.
How important is that to the music, New York being at the heart of everything? Because it seems that you're inextricably linked, Blondie and New York. Does it play a big part in the music even now after 10 albums?
I think nowadays, because we're also much more universal, that it isn't quite the same, but every city has a vibe, and New York has always been a great music city, and it still is. I mean, the people go to the clubs, it's just a great place.
And does that make a big part of it when you're recording with people like Johnny Marr, for instance, some of the great collaborators you've got on this album that you can record, but you can be in different parts of the world? Do you think something misses out on the production of an album when that happens? Or have you managed to get together to make this one?
Well, we have gotten together with some of the writers on the album, but not in the recording process. It's always been... Well, like Johnny submitted a song, he wrote a song for us, so we were very happy. I mean, I think I've met him in the past, and then we saw him again at the GQ Awards.
Yeah, it's a funny one. I'm listening to Johnny's autobiography at the moment. He talks about how important Parallel Lines was to his musical development. How does it make you feel working with musicians like that? Do you still get a big lift and a bit of a buzz working from really cool and innovative musicians like him?
Absolutely. I mean, it's an honor that he wanted to do a song for us and that we got to record it. I mean, I think he's been on our radar for a long time, too, and it's a mutual admiration society,
sure,
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, how do these collaborators come across your radar, though? Because it's quite a broad range of people you've got on this album, all amazingly talented, but are they people that you've spotted or they've come to you? How does it work?
Well, we just sort of sent out the word that, you know, we were looking for songs, and it worked out beautifully. And that's sort of what Pollinator is all about, you know, because we sort of got influenced by other musicians that came before us, and likewise. So it's a continuing tradition or a thing that happens, you know. We all get influenced by one another, so that's what it's like to be pollinated.
Very polite. I've never heard it described like that. There's definitely a massive, massive slice of Debbie Harry in Sia as well. There's clearly an influence there. And does that make you feel quite proud when you see people who have taken so much from you over the years as an influence?
Yes, I guess the biggest compliment or reward that you could possibly have is that you've, you know, influenced people.
Okay, Debbie, we're a massive fan of the new album. I love it. I think it's got a spirit of the old, the brilliant stuff, but it's also got something magically new and fresh in it, and we're loving it here. So I'm going to play the new single now. This is Fun on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
This is Radio X. That was the brand new track from Blondie. That's Fun. We think it's absolutely superb. Debbie Harry's on the phone right now. Debbie, how do you feel about Fun? Is it something you're particularly proud of? Where does it sit in the canon of Blondie material?
I think Fun actually fits right in perfectly with the music. It has that early club disco-y sound to it.
Debbie, a really good pal of mine, a very handsome Scotsman, worked with you in 1999, I think it was, when you came back with Maria. And he tells a wonderful story about when you went down to play Glastonbury. And on the way back, Blondie as a band gate-crashed Stonehenge, climbed over the fences and probably broke quite a lot of laws. Do you remember that? And what was your take on that day?
Well, you know, I remember different aspects of it. And climbing over the fences... I don't think that I was one of the fence climbers, you know. But I think, you know, the boys had to touch, you know, they wanted to really touch that big stone. And, you know, I envy them that. But, you know, we were allowed to go up the path. And I remember feeling some kind of, I know I'd probably be debunked about this, but I remember getting closer to the ring and feeling like this sort of magnetic force, you know, like this sort of electrical feeling that came, you know, clearly I walked through this field of energy when I got up closer to it.
I'm so proud of you for that, Debbie. It's proper rock and roll tradition, that. If there was a band to do that, then I think you'd be allowed to go and break into Stonehenge. That's fair enough. I've been thinking about this for about 18 months, and I hope you don't mind me asking, but I'm really interested to hear your tribute to David Bowie as well. Obviously such an important part of music culture in this country and around the world, but you don't really think about David Bowie without thinking about Blondie as well, and I just wondered if you could pay a tribute to him. And obviously recording at the Magic Shop as well, there's a lot of Bowie tradition. The last two albums were recorded there. I mean, could you give Radio X just a sense of what he meant to you and maybe something that reminds you about him every day?
I think Bowie was instrumental in launching our career as a real touring live entity, and he was extremely generous to us. He opened a lot of doors for us by, you know, putting us on that tour with Iggy. And that was the first step in the right direction, a big step. So he was totally responsible for that.
Yeah, what's your favourite Bowie song, just out of interest?
Hard to choose. But for many, many years, even way back in the day when we were playing at the Hammersmith Odeon, we played with Robert Fripp. We did Heroes. So, I mean, that's been part of our repertoire forever.
Listen, all the best with the album. We think it's fantastic. Fun's a wonderful single as well. I hope you're in great form, and we're looking forward to seeing you at British Summertime as well, where you're on the bill.
I can't wait. I can't wait to get back.
Debbie Harry, the wonderful, iconic Debbie Harry and Blondie. This is one of the most legendary songs from the band. This is Call Me on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
If you are a regular listener, you'll know about our domestic riders. This is something that was inspired by a book I've got called The Little Red Riders Book, and it's got great bands and what they demand backstage when they play a show. It was all, of course, based on the very famous Van Halen request, which was a bowl of M&Ms with the brown ones taken out. We've had some great stories so far in the last 4 or 5 weeks on the show. Two Door Cinema Club gave us a great example. They turned up for a gig in Germany and they'd had their heads superimposed on some pretty extreme pornography. Very odd indeed. Loads of other great stuff as well from bands over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Yesterday, I caught up with Freddie from The Vaccines, and this is what he told me. Freddie Cowan from The Vaccines. We've been talking to a lot of bands over the last little while about what they have on their riders. Is there anything that The Vaccines are demanding now that they're onto their fourth album?
I don't think we make any crazy demands, but I remember we once played a gig in Milan and they had a big pile of masks with my face on them.
Did you take them home with you?
No, we just all put them on.
It's a strange gift, that, isn't it?
It was a very good night for me.
Did Justin feel slightly uncomfortable?
He didn't put it on.
Of course he didn't. Frontman does not like that when there's somebody better
he
looking in the band.
Ouch.
So never mind these ridiculous smorgasbords of fine cheeses from Switzerland. It's something really narcissistic. I've got a bit of a ragu, a pungent ragu soup, which is going down very badly in the studio. Producer Vince not happy about it at all. The last time we did Domestic Riders, some people came on board and said that they were having haggis in a tin, and I'm not making that up. What was the other one? This great, great creation, which I've fallen in love with. Chocolate digestives in a ball shape. Fantastic. Gary says blue cheese is on my Domestic Rider tonight. I think I know what you're talking about, Gary. You can't fool us. Got another one here. Machine tea and half a Snickers accompanied by my forklift and dab radio. At work till 10 o'clock. That's Joe at the Ford Motor Company in Daventry. Keep them coming in. Tony Stockin says, being pregnant, my domestic rider is watermelon and chilli sauce washed down with Iron Brew 3 times a day. That sounds delicious to me. I think I'm pregnant. And James Martin Taylor, he says, scrumpy cider and Dairy Lee triangles winning. That sounds delicious as well.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
I've got a really good friend, a music journalist, a guy called Paul Stokes. And Stokes and I used to bump into each other all the time at gigs, backstage at stuff, in the middle of mosh pits, all sorts of places, all around the world. He knows his music. And he took the time to
circulate a great book called Mad For It, which kind of collects all the wit and wisdom of the Gallagher brothers over the years, some of the funniest things they said in interviews. And I've dug it out, and there's a couple of great things I thought I'd read out. I've just opened the book in a random page, and it's all about them splitting up and what might happen in the future. So bear in mind, these are taken from years and years ago. The first one that I read was reflecting on a fight they had in 2000 where Noel walked out in the band. This was in 2002. He said, "The fat lady hasn't started singing yet, but she was definitely clearing her throat, having her lemon and honey, doing her scales, but she's not quite started the performance." Amazing to think that was 2002 when he said that. And there's another great one from Liam. This was in 1997, right? So only a few years into their existence. He said, "We'll never break up. We'll just call it a day, shake hands, say, that was nice. Don't you owe me a royalty check? And that'll be it. We'll go down the pub and say, that was great, and get on with the next thing." Well, that never quite happened like that, 20 years on. And this last one from Noel in 2001. "If you'd asked me in December 1997 whether I thought Oasis would be around to celebrate their 10th birthday, I'd have laughed ever so politely in your face and said, no effing way."
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
A bit of festival news for you now. Excited to say that we have the lineup for you for Truck Festival. It's looking pretty special as well. Friday night, Franz Ferdinand, as we played there. Then on the Saturday, Libertines. And closing the show on the Sunday night will be The Vaccines, good friend of the radio station as well. So, while we're on the subject of the festival, I think I should introduce the one and only Freddie Cowan right now. How are you doing, Freddie?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Very well.
Clap.
That was two men clapping in the studio.
Wow.
It was, I think that is rapturous.
Sounds like one of our gigs.
Freddie, it's been a few years since I've seen you. What have you been up to? Like, I've obviously missed English Graffiti, so can you fill me in the last couple of years? What have you been up to?
Well, after coming of age, Justin and I, we relocated to New York for a bit. Just spent a lot of time in America, and we made English Graffiti, and then we kind of were touring. A lot's happened. I mean, we lost a band member. We lost Pete on the drums.
Yeah.
We've gained a couple of new members. We've got Tim and Johan now, and we're just kind of finishing writing our fourth record. As we speak, we're in the studio. So.
Excellent. So how's that? Is that going to be ready in time for you to debut some new tracks then when you play Truck Fest?
Definitely, mate. Definitely.
Super.
I feel sorry for people otherwise.
What does it feel like at the moment? You've got that excitement about to unveil these new children to the world, new band lineup, plus some great new
Definitely.
Songs.
Yeah, I mean, we've been sitting on these songs for over a year now, and we still really feel good about them. So
yeah,
it's nice to have that time to have that perspective, because you know, if you feel good about something 12 months in, that you know you've got something in the bank. So
Truck Festival, then, you know, you follow on from Franz on the Friday, then Libertine Saturday night. It's a different thing finishing on the Sunday night, isn't it? Because that is your chance to say, right, you've had a good weekend, but we are giving you something to go home and remember.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's great to be playing with the Libertines too and friends, and don't want to make them sound old or anything, but you know, I used to go and see them when I was 13, 14.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still a pretty cool thing for us.
It's funny you mentioned time, you know, because I only realised that it's 5 years since I think Radio X gave you, or XFM as it was then, gave you an award for the best new band.
You're getting
into that stage now where you're, what's this fourth album, isn't it? So, you know, you're experienced.
Yeah,
boys.
I mean, it's funny, when we made the last record, I was really thinking that one of, and it might not sound like much of an ambition, but one of our ambitions for it was just to survive. An obvious thing to say, but we just feel very lucky that, you know, we're kind of 6-7 years in and still doing what we're doing. So.
Good on you, Freddie. You deserve to be there, right? So let's play something from the back catalogue on Radio X now. This is If You Wanna Buy the Vaccines.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
That was If You Wanna Buy the Vaccines on Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart here with the Evening Show. The Vaccines have just been announced as headliners on the Sunday night at Truck Festival, following on from Libertines on the Saturday and Franz Ferdinand on the Friday. Freddie's still on the phone. You still there, Freddie?
I'm still here.
Freddie, just thinking back to some of the festivals I've seen you at over the years. So Coachella in the Sunshine. I've seen you at Benicassim in the Sunshine. I've also seen you in Tea in the Park in what can only be described as monsoon conditions. Do you think it plays a part in the way the crowd react and the way you perform, depending on those conditions at huge outdoor gigs?
Yeah, I definitely feel like when the sun's out, you get more of a euphoric feeling, especially when you're playing as the sun's going down. You know, you said Benicassim, you usually play just at sunset and the show goes on through the night, and I feel like you're up, if you're playing when there's a storm or, like you said, the kind of monsoon, I feel like you're fighting more of a battle with it. But I think our music, I think it just suits that sunshine, you know?
Yeah, no, too right. I mean, I have to say, that was a really special moment watching the Vaccines on stage at Benicassim, because the crowd go absolutely mental, because you have got those sort of short, punchy tracks that get people whipped up into a frenzy.
Yeah.
So it felt like something really special. It was also probably one of the most decadent things I've ever seen from a band. Seeing a British band come out of
Can
a...
Can you say that on the radio?
Is this PG? No. No, seeing a band coming out of a waterslide park and then playing a headline set, I don't think I'll ever see that again.
No. which we try and do that, but there's not, not many places. Tea in the Park doesn't have a water slide, does it?
It's certainly not a formal water slide. No,
different kind of water slide.
Just one last question as well. What is the dynamic like with the new band members? How is that working out? Are you enjoying it in the studio, or is it something that you just can't wait to unleash live?
I mean, we've been playing with them live, and it's been amazing. And you know, of course, we miss Pete very much. He's like a brother to us and still is, but there's just like a new energy in the band. Not like a kind of novelty energy. Like the new guys are really bringing something to the table. And I don't know, I just feel pretty recharged, to be honest.
Can't wait to see it, Freddie. Really appreciate you coming on tonight as well. Looking forward to seeing you in the festival circuit. I'm sure we'll catch up for a drink soon.
Awesome.
Vaccines headlining at Truckfest on the 23rd of July. That's the Sunday night. It's Old Marston Farm in Oxford. Sounds like a special festival. One to go and see the Vaccines at for sure. Make sure you get your tickets. Cheers, Freddie. Always good to speak to you. Back to the music now. This is Happy Mondays. Step on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
So this is something we're going to do every week on a Monday. I have a bit of a chat about an album. Maybe there's a reason, some kind of anniversary or something like that to get us to talk about it. But we did it with Blur the other week and their fifth album. Had a good blether about that. And this week we thought we'd get into Daft Punk because it's now 20 years since Homework came out. And that made me feel very old indeed. 20th of January 1997, just over 20 years ago when that album came out. And it reminds me of a magical time. The music was just otherworldly. I love a bit of French music. I'm a fan of Air, but this was just a little bit dirtier and a little bit grottier. And I didn't know the history of Daft Punk particularly well until I watched the documentary over the weekend. If you haven't seen it, make sure you get it. It's on Netflix and it explains the story behind the name of the band and where this first album came from. But they got a really appalling review in Melody Maker when they were the original band before they became Daft Punk. And it said, this band have written a lot of Daft Punky music. And they kept it, and it was their inspiration, and they called themselves Daft Punk. But if you think back to this album, 1997, right? Around the World, Daft Punk, Burning, and Revolution 909, really special tracks. And also, it was kind of a new angle on house music, which had a good 10 years by that point. And they made it fresh again and inspired other great bands like Justice, Sebastian, Simeon Mobile Disco, and, of course, LCD Sound System. And they've also got two of the best names, I think, in music, Thomas Bangalter and Guy Manuel de Homem Cristo.
Oh, wow.
But you... Producer Vin, he's just known as Guy Man, which I think is quite nice, all the way through the documentary.
But I mean, that's a shame, isn't it? Give me that name again.
Guy Manuel de Homem Cristo.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And even Thomas Bank, in a Scottish accent, Bangalter. Doesn't sound quite right, does it? But what was really interesting in the documentary is how desperate and how hard they have fought to remain anonymous and not, like, fall into line with the conventions of record labels. There's a great story about when they released this album, the record label Virgin sent this limo to pick them up and they ran away. they didn't get in the limo, got on the subway and turned up for the dinner because they just wouldn't be in debt to record labels. They wanted to play it their own way. Of course, they went on and made a little animated movie, did things their own way. A lot of this was recorded in their bedroom, though, which has to be one of the last great albums to be recorded like that. Anyway, I think it's superb. And why not play the first single from it? The reason I wanted to do this as well, because what really broke the album was Spike Jonze's music video. You remember the dog wandering down the street in New York, and loads of people thought they were sort of making some reference to the world, some cerebral comment. But Thomas Bangalter says, there's no story, it's just a man dog walking with a ghetto blaster in New York. The rest is not meant to say anything. People are trying to explain it. Is it about human tolerance, integration, urbanism? There's no message. As he says, it's a dog walking down the street in New York, a man dog. And it was Spike Jonze who did the video, which was superb. It's worth looking that back up. But we're going to play that song now from a classic album, 1997. Homework. This is Daft Punk, and this is utterly brilliant. Daft Punk on Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
Loving that. Two back-to-back from Daft Punk Around the World and before that Daft Funk. Superb stuff. We're celebrating classic albums on a Monday night. It's just over 20 years now since Homework came out. 20th of January 1997. Few people know this, but they were actually signed to a Scottish record label first off, Soma Records, based in Glasgow. And in the spirit of that Scottish connection, wee Stewie got in touch and said, on Saturday I stayed up all night, but didn't they get lucky? Daft Punk or Tubes. So people don't understand that's not a Scottish term of endearment. The moral is, didn't live your life by song lyrics. Thanks for that pearl of wisdom. wisdom, wee Stewie. So yeah, Homework, 1997. It went gold and platinum all over the world. There's loads of variety on the album as well. Pure Poppin' Around the World, which you just heard. Acid and Funk on Da Funk, which you heard before that. The chic-inspired disco throughout, which of course bore fruit later with Get Lucky. And a comical legend fresh. And Nile Rodgers, of course, recorded with them later on as well. I tell you one thing I love from the documentary, if you haven't seen it, it's called Unchained. Make sure you watch it. There's a great story about Thomas and how he plugged a mic into a mixer like a sound desk during a gig, and he used the noise, the crackle it made when it was plugged in, on loop to create the rhythm and the rhythm section for a song, which is just a magical bit of creativity. Love all that stuff. Of course, they got quite mainstream after that, I think it's safe to say. And when America embraced them, they lost a lot of their original fans. But I think the new stuff's just as good as it was 20 years ago. Well worth doing on classic albums on Radio Works. If you've got a suggestion for us, something we can play two songs from every Monday night in Classic Albums, just send it in to us, 83936 or at Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
As Kings of Leon on Radio X. Reverend, I'm Gordon Smart here with your evening show. And if you are like me and you can't remember important dates in the calendar that keep you in the good books at home, here's a wee reminder. Valentine's Day is almost upon us. If you're a total buffoon like me, it's next Tuesday, the 14th. Now, make sure you avoid all the awkward trips to the supermarket for those wilting dog-eared flowers and the dodgy car. Just do the right thing. Knock up a mixtape. I say mixtape, that's just for the nostalgia. No need to get the felt tip pens out and use your best handwriting on the cassette sleeve. What would you put on your ultimate Valentine's Day playlist? Now, we've got some songs you might want to avoid. How about Khalees, I Hate You So Much Right Now? Steer clear of that. Or Puddle of Mud, She Hates Me. Maybe something like You're So Vain by Carly Simon. I've got a suggestion for you. Why not play a little bit of Ida Maria? I Like You So Much Better When You're Naked. Hit it, Vin.
I like you so much better when you're naked.
Remember this? Remember that song? Just run into the bedroom, put that on and hand over the flowers. You're on a winner. Or you could always just play a few other little classics like Serge Gainsbourg and Jatame, or a bit of Barry White. Why not? Let us know your playlist over at radiox.co.uk now, and you could be in with a chance of winning a £100 Amazon voucher. I'll also have a full hour of your favourite indie love songs from those suggested on the big day itself. How about that? On the 14th. Get over at radiox.co.uk, tell me your favourite love songs and you could bag yourself that £100 Amazon voucher. I'm going to play a bit of Snow Patrol for you as well now. Some really beautiful heartstring tugging lyrics like those three words that are said too much but not enough. Gary Lightbody's a poet. Okay, this is Chasing Cars on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
That was the Evening Show podcast. I hope you liked it. If you liked it, subscribe, tell your friends and leave a review. And remember, I'm on Radio X every weeknight from 7 o'clock. I'll see you then.
Radio X.
Get into the music.